This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to this special podcast edition of The Informer, where we'll hear extended interviews with guests from our conversion therapy episode. I'm Dean Arcuri. Chris's experience of gay conversion therapy is a story that's been shared in the media as well as in Parliament, and now he's sharing it with us in this extended interview. It's important for us to listen to the experiences of survivors of this so-called therapy. Since marriage equality, gay conversion therapy and transgender issues have continued to move forward in the Australian media and narrative. We need to do more than just nod our heads and agree. We need to listen, we need to advocate, and we need to support. Now, my extended interview with Chris. What was your experience like?
Gay conversion therapy, I would say, isn't just about, you know, the stuff that you see on TV or, you know, the American stuff that's kind of been really well discussed in the media. It's really about an ideology that tells gay people that they are not okay the way that they are and that they need to change. Whether that's because of religious reasons or whatever, it doesn't matter. It's an ideology that drives those organisations and things. So my experience with gay conversion ideology started when I was really, really young, growing up in church. And I was hearing all sorts of things about gay people, that they were abominations, that they are sick, that they are sinful, that they'd made choices to be gay, even that they were demon-possessed. And I guess, even though I was a child, when I heard those things in church, and sometimes they were, you know, it was overt messaging, sometimes it was really subtle, but when I heard those things, I really took them to be about me. Particularly when I was about 10, I realized that I might be gay when I was about 10 or 11. And so those things that I'd heard in church and that messaging around homosexuality being something that's wrong with you became part of my identity, and it became part of how I saw myself. And so I saw myself as sick. I saw myself as perverted and as an abomination, as someone who just was not okay being who they are. I really felt that strongly, even as a child. You know, even when I was 11, I thought that I may have demons in me. And so the ideology of gay conversion therapy affected me from a really young age. And so when I came out at 16 and I spoke to my pastor about my concerns and my worries about being gay, and he suggested that there was a way that I could be healed from it, I jumped at it because I was desperate. I was really scared. I spent so many years as a kid really frightened to death of hell. I really believed that that was where I was going, and it was scary. I think it's really difficult for people to imagine what it's like for a kid to really believe that they may have a demon inside them or that they're destined for some fiery pit when they die. But, you know, I really believed those things. It was reality to me, and it was scary. And when my pastor at the time told me that God could heal me and that there was organizations out there that helped people to change, I was really excited about it. I was really relieved, because up until then, I was really worried that I was always going to be that way and that it was going to be something that would ruin my life. So I started seeing a Christian counselor at 16, and then I met with the leader of Living Waters in Australia when I was 17, and he talked to me about his experience with conversion therapy and told me that Living Waters was basically a ministry that could help me to heal my broken sexuality. And it was a way that I could find healing in Christ, find, I think the terms that we used were, you know, finding sexual wholeness in Christ. This ideology that being gay is broken. So I decided soon after that when I finished school that I would go to Canberra and do the Living Waters course. And so I did that when I was 19. I moved to Canberra in order to participate in this course. And yeah.
So I just want to understand, the course was a way for you to not be gay?
Yeah. The way that it was presented to me was as an ex-gay ministry. It was an answer to a problem. You know, it's funny, you know, the church taught me that I was broken, and then, you know, lo and behold, the church has this way to fix it, you know, through, yeah, gay conversion therapy. So, yeah.
Okay, so did you do the whole course?
I did, yeah. So it was a 9-month course, and there were so many different courses available at that time, and they all had different ways of running. The one that I went to was a 9-month course. We'd meet every week, and it ran a lot like Alcoholics Anonymous, like that style of support group, I suppose you'd call it. We purchased these really thick textbooks. It was a manual to the course that was full of, you know, it talked about sort of pseudo-psychological reasons for being gay and talked about how broken sexuality could be healed. So we would sit in a sermon about the chapter that we'd read that week. We'd have homework to do. We'd have to answer questions in the book. We'd have a time of worship. And then we'd all split off into small groups. And they'd split us into boy and girl groups. And we would confess our sins to each other. And we would talk about the struggles that we'd had that week with our sexuality. And then we would be anointed with oil. So it was really a lot like a support group AA style of ministry. I think the damage that came from it was that it confirmed and really hammered home all of that messaging from when I was a kid, that I'm broken, that I'm not okay the way I am, that who I am is not okay with God, that homosexuality is an abomination, all of that stuff really got hammered home. And when I left, of course, I was still gay. I was probably gayer than when I started. But, yeah, when I left, I was, I mean, not only disappointed because I'd really sort of been sold this idea that it was the answer, and here I was still gay. I was even more convinced that I was broken.
Did you feel like you weren't ever going to get better?
Yeah. That was the fear. You know, there was this fear that I would never, ever, ever be straight. And for someone that grew up in a church environment and had been given all those messages as a kid, that's the worst thing in the world. You know, how could I be part of my church community, my faith community, if I was different in this way? I mean, it was, don't forget, homosexuality to a lot of Christians is like the worst sin, you know, one of the worst sins that you can possibly commit. And it was like I'd always felt that I'd never been fully part of the club of church, you know, because I knew I was different and because I had this secret, this thing that was part of me that was so displeasing to God. And so when Living Waters failed to actually change me, I had this real fear that I'm never going to be normal. I'm never going to be able to start my life. It was like I couldn't start my life properly until I dealt with this problem. And so I basically, after that, I really desperately went about trying anything and everything that I could possibly find to try and change. So I went to exorcisms. I was reading books. I was going to other ex-gay ministries, different prayer nights and conferences and all sorts of things. So really desperately trying anything that I could to give it over to God and find some kind of healing. Obviously, none of it worked. But yeah, I spent years doing it.
As we're sitting here talking and talking about spending years looking and spending years going to other ex-gay sessions, and do you think it surprises people to realise how prevalent conversion therapy is?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it's really surprising to people because it's not something that's openly talked about anymore. I mean, years ago, ex-gay ministries used to visit churches and do information evenings, but they don't do that now. It's very much underground now. I think probably public backlash and a change in public opinion around homosexuality and the way that we treat people based on their sexuality has changed a lot in the last 10, 15 years. And so I think most ministries that peddle this ideology that being gay is broken aren't able or aren't comfortable to really publicly say what their intentions are.
How do you think then we can create a space that we can combat that?
It's a really difficult thing to combat. It's not as simple as a ban, and I'm saying that as someone who started a petition asking for the government to step in and facilitate some kind of legislation around gay conversion therapy. I think there's a couple of different approaches. So number one, it needs to be understood that gay conversion therapy is something that is occurring in the offices of health professionals. Okay, so it happens in counsellors' offices. It does happen with psychologists. I'm not saying that loads of psychologists are doing it, but it does happen. I've spoken to survivors of gay conversion therapy in the last few months since I started the petition who have talked to me about how they were at churches and Christian psychologists in the churches were quite open about the fact that they were treating patients for their homosexuality. So I think there is a need for some kind of therapeutic fraud provisions or something along those lines so that, number one, it sends a message to people that the Australian government does not agree with gay conversion therapy. It's not okay. They agree with what all of the reputable health bodies around the world say, which is that it's unethical, it's dangerous, and it doesn't work. So that's number one. I think we also need to look at how we can educate people, and that's Christians, it's the gay community, it's about what gay conversion therapy is and how we can go about combating the ideologies. So the petition that I started is about stopping the actual therapy from happening in a professional setting, but there's the ideology that needs to be dealt with, and I think that the way to deal with that is through education. It's also about allowing survivors to tell their stories and to talk about the impact that gay conversion therapy has had on their lives.
Where the petition's concerned, that you're right, that does totally make a difference and it does combat that on that way. But what we've been talking about here and what you talked about with your own experience is the fact that, you know, you grew up thinking you were wrong, the fear of going to hell, the fear of eternal fire, and what that meant. Because even if we can make the changes from a political perspective and we can put the safeguards from a health perspective, how do we create a change in narrative from a religious one?
Yeah, it's really tough because, you know, I mean, whenever you're talking about changing people's ideologies, there's not one answer that's going to say, yep, that's going to be the fix. I think when we're talking about from a political perspective, that's one step. I think the only way that we can really make a dent in the way that people or the way that religious communities think about homosexuality is for people to start telling their stories and to allow survivors to have a voice to talk about the effect that SOS or ex-gay conversion therapy has had on their lives. That's the only way. We need to be able to show people who think that being gay can be fixed or that it's a broken form of sexuality, that this is actually what gay conversion therapy does. It's actually killing people and it's actually affecting them negatively for their entire lives. If you've been listening and you really agree that gay conversion therapy is wrong and that the government needs to take a strong stance against it as one step in the process of hopefully eradicating gay conversion therapy and the ideologies around it in Australia, then please go to change.org/endgaycures and sign the petition there. It's basically calling for the Minister for Health, Greg Hunt, to work with the states and territories of Australia to create some kind of regulation or legislation around gay conversion therapy.
Chris, thank you for sharing your story. If you'd like to sign Chris's petition, mentioned in the interview, to outlaw gay conversion therapy, simply head to change.org and search for Praying the Gay Away, or look in the description of this podcast. I'm Dean Arcuri.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.